Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Plugged In with Diane Warren. We're really excited to welcome our special guest today, and those guests are all of you. That's right, today is our very first mailbag episode, and that means we'll be taking this time to answer questions from our listeners who have taken the time to write in. This podcast is produced by the team at Good Learning Anywhere, and our theme song is by bensound.com. We are your hosts, Diane Altimbalek and Warren Butler. Hey, Warren, how are you doing?
I'm good, Di. How are you? How's your summer going?
Not bad. It's been nice to have some warm weather, spend time in the backyard. I've actually got like a nice setup going where I can shade my computer and actually work outside, which is super nice. And it's been great to spend time with the kids. So it's been going pretty well. How about yours?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Had a little bit of vacation time, some really good family time. And yeah, the weather's been great. Lots of time outdoors, getting some golf in. And yeah, no, it's been a great summer.
Cool. You run into any of the Maple Leafs on the golf course this year?
Well, it's funny that you say that. a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And my son was actually attended a 3-day camp that they were running just a couple weekends ago. So that was very, very overwhelming, but it was a lot of fun at the same time. The kids learned quite a bit. So it was a great invite.
That's pretty amazing. Congratulations to your son.
Yeah, I'll send you a couple pictures. It was like, you know, when they win the Stanley Cup and they do the interviews after and like, oh, what do you think? How are you feeling? And they don't know what to say. Yep. It was kind of like one of those experiences, very hard to describe. And, you know, just be, you know, being able to see these young kids interact with NHL hockey players and get to know them on a different level and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was great experience and definitely, a memory that he'll have for quite some time.
That's pretty amazing. I definitely look forward to seeing those pictures.
Yeah. So it ended up cutting my vacation a little bit short, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, that definitely seems like it would be worth it. Okay. So like we actually had like quite a few write-ins and lots of good questions. And I'm thinking that just to like mix it up and keep it fun, you can pick a number between 1 and 18 and we'll do these randomly.
Okay. Yeah, good idea. So these are the mailbag questions, right? So these are questions that people have sent in randomly. I think everyone's getting excited for the new semester that's coming up. So there's probably a variety of different questions, but let's start with number 7 and we'll see where we start.
All right. So lucky number 7, how many courses can I take at a time?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
It really
Very
is.
Very loaded question.
Starting off strong with
great
this
question.
One.
Yeah, no, that's a loaded question for sure. And a great one. You know, I've always been kind of under the impression and, you know, over the years, like you and I have both been here for quite some time and what we've noticed over those years is small successes really go a long way. You know, it's even like when we're in a live class and, you know, there's a lot of different buttons, there's a lot of different things that we can click on. And what I've always recommended to people is just get really good at something small first. So if you're in a live class, just get familiar and comfortable with using the text chat. And then the next class, maybe start, you know, trying out the emojis and just kind of making these smaller steps. And it's kind of very similar with, I think, taking classes. You could sign up for 10 classes, but the reality is if you're going to try to do 10 at once, you're going to be very distracted. It's going to be very difficult to manage. So I always think it's a great idea. Just start with one. focus on that and you kind of take your time with it and get comfortable in the course itself. And it may not be ideal for everybody. Some people might like to take three or four at a time. They crave that variety, which I completely get. But I think just based on our experience, just taking one at a time and doing really well at it or the best that you can and putting all of your effort into it seems to go a long way. That's my opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Di?
I think that less is more. I think that you get more out of your learning when you're focused. And I definitely recommend taking one course at a time. Some of our mentors actually say one at a time per platform. So you might sign up for one Edmentum and one Moodle course. And because like those Edmentum courses can get like pretty long and intense and everything, and you might need a break from it. So it's good to like, you know, take a week and step away and like knock out a Moodle course and everything, which I completely understand, like as, you know, a method of stress management and everything. But I think that you get more out of it when you're focused on one topic at a time. The beauty of our live classes is that the majority of them are single session. We have a few of them that are two or three sessions long, but not a lot of them. And because like it's, you know, 2 hours here and 2 hours there, and then a course, especially at an introductory level, is done, you can sign up for as many of those as you want, because like you can't really, it's kind of impossible to take too many of them at a time. But that's my recommendation, is one course at a time. Put the other ones on a wait list in your file, communicate with your mentor about when you're done, and choose your courses wisely.
Yeah, no, those are excellent points. And I like the variety too, like you mentioned, right? Maybe you want to take a live class and then maybe an independent course that you can take at your own time. So you just kind of get that, you know, full experience of online learning when it comes to both live and independent learning.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
Oh, you want to pick a number?
Yeah. Pick another number.
And not seven.
Not seven.
Let's go with five.
Okay. So this is actually about podcasting. So question number five is, what is the biggest challenge with doing a podcast?
Well, there's lots of different challenges. I guess it depends on, maybe it depends on what type of podcast people are running. So it might depend on, you know, what the topic, you know, the theme of the podcast. I think for us is, you know, we've had a lot of different guests come on and, mm-hmm. you know, we're in the summertime right now. It's hard to get a hold of people, and people are on vacation and have different schedules and whatnot. So I know that's always been a challenge, you know, trying to get guests, if that's something that people want to do. But I would say, I think for what I've seen for so far, that seems to be probably the biggest challenge right now.
For me, I think the biggest challenge is probably the post-production. So a lot of people know that we actually offer a Moodle course on how to produce your own podcast. And we kind of took the stance that we wanted to make podcasting accessible to everybody. So we recommended a number of different free resources in order to do that, including open source editing software, which is, you know, free of charge and free to use. And I am trying to set a good example by using those free softwares to produce this and do our editing and our post-production as well. And the funny thing about that is that with the particular software that I'm using, you have to do every single step. Whereas with some of the stuff that you pay for, there's like sort of a more automated process to doing it. So for example, like there's one software that I used to use a long, long time ago, and unfortunately I no longer have a subscription to it. But if you wanted to do noise reduction, you would make a selection and then you would hit a button and it would automatically filter out all the background noise. So with open source software, you don't necessarily have that luxury. So you have to record some room tone. You have to take a sample of that quiet track and you sort of have to build a noise profile for it. And then you have to apply that noise profile to the active voice track that you're trying to edit. And it's really funny because sometimes you have to run that filter a number of times to actually filter all the noise down. And if you're not careful, you can actually start affecting the level of the foreground voice as well. And it's hilarious because sometimes it can get really, really time consuming. But it's totally worth it because I think that we turned out a good product. I really, really love podcasting and everything. And that's just kind of like a challenge that comes with it. And the more that you do it, it's like anything else, you get a little bit better at it every time. But I think that that's probably the most challenging part of doing a podcast for me.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of work. Like, you know, when people listen to a podcast, we might be on for 30, 40 minutes. But it definitely takes more than 30, 40 minutes to prepare, find guests, you know, try to figure out what the theme is. And then obviously, as you're mentioning, the post-production steps that are included. So takes a bit of time, but definitely well worth it.
Yeah, it's funny. The average is about an hour of work to edit 15 minutes of the podcast. And then that's if you don't have any hiccups. If it's, you know, everybody was, you know, had a headset on, had a quiet room, that type of stuff where you're just kind of like, you know, doing some like minimal cutting and pasting and listening and reviewing and so forth. So the average is about an hour of editing for 15 minutes of content. And luckily we don't have to take very much out. Like if we get a 40 minute episode, we realistically probably only taped for about an hour. And I think that that's something that we could be really, really proud of with ourselves is that we have those good, we have good flow to our conversations and we really don't cut too much down.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty seamless, I think.
Yeah. Okay. 5 and 7 are down. What's your next number?
Okay, we should go to some double digits here. Let's go to 15.
15. What is the recommended length of time that I should spend on my courses each week?
Ooh, great question.
That's a really great question.
And a tough one, too. I don't know if there is a flat answer for everybody. I think everyone that registers for classes with us are coming from a different situation. They have, you know, different responsibilities, different learning experiences with online learning. You know, there's different barriers that are in the way for everyone. So I don't know if there's a right or wrong or precise answer. You know, I like to see progress. And it's not necessarily, you know, a grade or a percentage or a certain mark that I'm looking for. That's not really what's important to me. Like I like to see progress in terms of people just chipping away at the course, you know, being open and just letting the mentor know, hey, you know what, this is a bad week. I can only work on my class for a couple of hours, but I'll try to, you know, get back at it next week. And just having that open communication is very helpful. But, you know, ideally a couple hours a day would be, I think, something good to target as terms of time. But I think everyone's unique and individual. And I think we have to adapt to that at the same time. I don't know. What do you think, Di?
I think I'm kind of on the same page as you here. Like there's some people that are, you know, they have small kids at home or they have part-time or full-time jobs that they're working around. Some of them are utilizing other learning resources at the same time that they're using ours. And I think that progress is probably the key indicator more than time on task, because there's some people who can do 2 or 3 hours a week and they can bang out a small portion of a course assignment or something. And then there's other people who their learning style requires a lot more reading and a little bit more of an attention to detail. So those ones, you know, they might want to put in a half an hour to an hour a day. So my recommendation for that is talk to your mentor about it, see what your availability is, and see if they can help you with some time management tools to sort of determine the best approach for you.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And, you know, time management is something I think everybody's always working on, or I think we're always trying to improve on that. And it's just one of those lifelong learning skills that I think we'll always be, you know, trying to improve and work on. And we've got a course for time management too. It should be a much more popular course. I actually wish more people would take advantage of it. There's a lot of great resources in it. And to your point too, when you're working and you have a job and you have a family at home and all these other responsibilities, time management's key, especially if you're working with maybe an on-site program where you're in a classroom environment. I think that's also very important because now you have two programs to deal with and managing those expectations as well. So we do have a course. It is coming out this fall again. I believe it's going to be September 22nd, but definitely a course to keep in mind.
Awesome. All right. Give me another number.
All right. Let's go 11.
11. As an on-site or instructor, can I book a live private class for my group of learners?
Yes, please. It's definitely a great option. You know, I think for an on-site instructor, it's very helpful to know that they have a dedicated instructor on the other end to help their learners through a class. I think it's just makes things a little bit more seamless than they have one point of contact when they're working with us. The other thing I like about the small groups is sometimes people feel more comfortable when they know they're working with a small group that they see all the time in their classroom. So I think that gives people a bit of confidence. It takes away some of their nerves. But absolutely, if you're interested in a small group class, Sue's our registration expert. And if you have an inquiry, you can send us an email. If you send it to info@shlc.ca, it'll come to me and we can walk through the opportunity together. And then we'll connect with Sue and get you all set up. So yeah, definitely. Great question. I like that one.
Yeah, me too. I kind of wish Sue was actually here to answer that one because, like, I know that the groups, she's the one that arranges all of those and everything. And I think that she's pretty enthusiastic about the opportunities that we have and the relationships that we build and so forth. And I think that she would give us a lot of really, really great details about how to do that. The nice thing, like, just for a little bit of context, sometimes we will book groups for private classes and give them all the same mentor. So there's no variation. And it's great because everybody in the group's getting the exact same information. They're getting the exact same mentorship style. And it's just a lot more consistent. And those groups can go away and sort of support each other as well because they're all on the same page. So it's one of those rare opportunities where we can sort of treat it like a more traditional sort of classroom when we have groups like those come in. And shout out to Evelyn. She was one of our previous guests that worked at Cambrian College, and she actually brings lots of groups in for us for private instruction and mentorship as well. We've had an amazing back and forth relationship with her and had a lot of really great success stories come out of Cambrian.
Oh yeah, no, it's awesome. And one of the things that Evelyn's done in the past, and I don't know if people know about this, and I might be jumping ahead here, Di, it could be a question already, but I think we can tie it in a little bit, is that, you know, for an on-site instructor that maybe is thinking about getting a group involved with us, and it might be for a couple of different courses that we're offering, but they're not sure about the courses. They don't know if it's a good fit. They don't know maybe what the level of that class is. you know, if you're an on-site instructor and you have a program, maybe you want to enroll yourself and you just want to audit the class. You just kind of want to review it, see if it's a good fit for your group. That's an option as well. And yeah, it's too bad we don't have Sue here because she could talk better to that, but she can certainly make a course available to an instructor so they can, you know, just see if it's right for them. Hopefully it is, but it's, you know, that's up to an on-site instructor to decide for themselves. So that option's available if people are interested.
Yep. And that actually does knock out question number 9. As an on-site instructor, can I audit a course? And, you know, like I'm starting to rethink this, Warren, and I think that we should have had Sue along because like she probably just would have like addressed easily half of these questions herself just by talking about like, you know, even just her role here. And, you know, like I know we had her on, I think it was actually this time last year when we were promoing the fall and everything. And maybe she needs to be an annual August guest from now on.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Give me another number.
All right. Let's go with number 1.
Number 1. What's your favorite part of doing the Plugged In with Diane Warren podcast?
Oh, great question. Ooh, good one.
I love that we've got a mix of podcast questions, GLA questions, course questions, and everything. This is fun.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good that we're just randomizing it like this and just kind of give a great variety. And actually, I think that's what I like about the podcast is we try to bring in a lot of variety. We've had a variety of different guest speakers. We've had a variety of different topics. And what I'm finding interesting, and I think what makes this field so special is that it's very unique and there's so many different things that we cover on so many different topics. So it's neat, I think, bringing in guests and guest speakers just to get their perspective on things that they're working on in the field and pick their brain and working together. There's so much to learn from each other and, you know, just having that variety. It just, I don't know, it just makes it feel that much more special, I think. I don't know, what do you think?
I like that we have an alternative to the webinars and things like that for information sharing. Like every LBS organization that wants to sort of share with the LBS community, they... everybody has, you know, like webinars and guest talks, and a lot of them have newsletters and so forth. And I liked that we got to branch out and do something a little bit different. I like that we have a good reach. I like how casual it feels. Like, I don't know about you, but like when I have to go and give a conference presentation or something like that, there's definitely a lot of nerves involved with it for me. And there's just like a certain comfort and like a different pace, not necessarily a slower pace, but a different pace to producing a podcast. And I kind of feel a little bit more at ease, like having fun with it. Whereas if I'm presenting at a conference, I feel like there's a pressure to be more formal and so forth. So I think that that's kind of like my favorite things is sort of like embracing and working with other LBS practitioners and having a more communal feel to it, having a more friendly sort of approach to it than the formal approach.
Yeah. And it's funny, right? You hear from, I think, almost all of the guests, they'll come in and they'll say, oh, I'm so nervous. My hands are sweating. I've never done this before. And then we get through it and it's a casual conversation that we just happened to record. And then at the end, they're like, oh, wow, that wasn't too bad. I'd like to do that again. Or, you know, I think we've had someone say they wanted to start their own podcast themselves, and which is kind of neat. I think that kind of validates that, you know what, hey, maybe we are onto something, maybe we are doing the right thing. So I think it's great. It's been, you know, as much as it's hard, but there's a lot of positives to take away as well.
Yeah, like it's just like anything else. Anything worth doing is worth putting some hard work in on, and I think it's been very worth it for us. Like we've gotten a really positive response. We've talked to some amazing people. We've had some really really great learning opportunities to hear directly from them in a more detailed context than, say, you know, reading up on the internet and finding a place for a referral and so forth. We've actually gotten to have some good conversations. And I love that. And I love that we're keeping up with, you know, the modern times and everything too. Podcasts are becoming a pretty pervasive part of media, and we get to be a part of that and we get to promote it. And we've got, like, again, we've got that course. We're taking a good opportunity to sort of give people the tools that they need to do it themselves as well, so they can keep up their skills, learn something new, have something cool to add to their resume if they want to go that direction.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too. Like, everyone has a different way of learning, mm-hmm. right? So some people are auditory, right? They can hear something and learn it, or that's their preference of how they want to learn. And, you know, since we've been doing this, you know, I'm starting to listen to a lot more different podcasts and, you know, trying to learn from others in terms of how they're setting them up and how they're running. But it's kind of like YouTube, right? There's so much that you can learn on YouTube if you're a visual learner, but maybe if you're an auditory learner, podcasts are another medium, not just a different way to learn something new. So again, I think to your point earlier about, you know, being inclusive and trying to have something for everyone, I think the podcast checks a lot of those boxes.
Oh, definitely. Plus it's fun.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Okay, let's do another number.
All right. Well, we started with one, so let's go to the other bookend and let's take number 18.
Okay. So this is a really, really interesting question. I've heard so many great stories from elders that should totally be turned into children's books. How would one start that process for beginner publishers?
Oh, wow. This is where we need a writing expert.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And we've had Nida on in the past too. So I'm actually going to jump in on you for this one. I know that you've been taking the first crack at these, but I actually do have ideas about this. So first thing that I would do is, you know, dust off your writing skills. We have a number of different creative writing courses at a couple of different levels. And Nida has actually graciously made herself available to lead some informal writing circles on our behalf too. So I'm just going to stop there for a second and go to my next point. And I will let Warren tell us a little bit more about writing circles in a bit. But another thing that I would say is get in touch with one of our community partners too, because if you're a regular listener, you may remember that we had Alexandra from Turtles Back Publishing on, and they actually have like frequent calls out for people to submit content. I'm not sure about children's books necessarily, but one thing that I will say is that whether English is your second language or whether you haven't had any formal education and training in English up until this point, picture books and graphic novels and things like that are super, super good tools for helping reading comprehension, for sort of adding like a visual richness to a reading experience and so forth. And even if they can't accept your publication, they may have some like resources or good educational opportunities for you if you're setting that up as a long-term goal. So I would definitely reach out to Turtles Back Publishing, ask as many questions as you need to, because like I'm sure that they want information on how to, you know, how to better represent Indigenous people in publication and so forth. They have that information. They want to get that information out there. So I would recommend reaching out to Alexandra about that. And definitely check out our creative writing courses and see how you can turn your stories into a new presentation.
Yeah. And I think that's always not a challenge, but being able to take something on paper and then publish it into something, whether it be a book, whether it's a course or whatever it might be. But what I like about those creative writing courses is it just kind of gets you going. It just kind of inspires you a little bit. And the fact that there's a group of learners as well taking those courses that are probably there for similar reasons, but I think it's an excellent starting point for sure.
Yeah. And for anybody who wants to hear a little bit more about the successes of our creative writing program, I recommend going back to one of our older episodes. We had Nida Doherty, who is our creative writing instructor, on. And we actually featured two learners that were sharing some of their creative writing pieces. I think that was last December. But, you know, if you haven't listened to all of our previous episodes, go back and listen to them because there's some amazing content in there. And definitely listen to that Turtles Back episode because there's going to be a lot better information for you in there regarding how an aspiring publisher should get started.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay. How much time? I don't know if we're going to get through all 18 here. What do you think?
Probably not. There's a number of these that are actually related to registration. So what I can do is just kind of address some of them right now, and then we'll see how many of those questions are left.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Sure. So we have a lot of questions about registration, how to get registered, and where to go from there once you get in. So how to register is you can either email Warren at info@shlc.ca to kind of get a walkthrough on the process. Or if you're comfortable with using computers and the internet, you can go to goodlearninganywhere.com/register. And there will be a really, really easy to follow form on there to sign up for courses. So we did have a question about what to do if you're already registered and you want to sign up for more courses. Well, we have mentors, and when you register, you're going to be assigned a mentor, and they're going to sort of follow your progress, offer any assistance that you need, communicate with you about timelines and goal setting and so forth. And once you're in the system, you actually don't have to fill out that registration form a second time. You can just ask your mentor and they can just add that right on for you. So another question that we had here was, how long do I have to complete my course? Well, all of our courses are kind of different. We have a variety of platforms, which brings us to another question. What is the difference between the Moodle and Edmentum courses? So Moodle is our platform for short courses. Some of them are actually so short that we would actually call them micro. And those ones are strictly content that is created by GLA or handed down to us from partners and adapted for GLA use. So the Moodle courses are going to be a more refined GLA experience, whereas the Edmentum courses are a lot longer and more in depth, and they tackle a lot more of the hard subjects like your GED preparation on a variety of subjects, your math essential skills. There's some career exploration courses, some general ones and some specific ones. You can take your psychology, your sociology, your introduction to forensics, your music appreciation courses, all those ones, those types of courses are there. So that's the main difference between those two platforms is the Edmentum courses are longer licensed content. The Moodle courses are shorter GLA specific content. And another registration question that we have is actually about who is eligible. So if you're 18 or over and you are living in Ontario, you can go ahead and register for GLA. So finally, we have, why do I have a mentor and course instructors? So the mentor is the one that's actually kind of keeping your file, following your progress, making sure that your goals are tracked and so forth. And your instructors are actually the ones who are delivering the content specifically. So sometimes mentors are instructors, and sometimes your mentor will be your instructor, and sometimes your mentor will be somebody different from your instructor. So I hope that kind of answers those questions. If you're interested in signing up for us and you're interested in how mentorship works and everything, the way that it really works is communication is key. Answer those emails that are coming in from your mentors to stay on track, and don't be shy about reaching out and asking any questions to your mentors.
Yeah, the mentors are a key piece. And, you know, when a learner registers and signs up for classes, they're going to receive an email from the mentor, and you want to remember the person's name. Don't delete the email, hold on to it, you know, because when you have questions, that's your go-to person. They're going to understand your file and they're going to know a little bit more about what your goals are. And they're really like I said, that go-to person that can really answer all your questions and register for more classes if you like. But yeah, you definitely want to remember who your mentor is. Very important.
Yeah, definitely. It should be easy to remember too, because the mentors do reach out on a weekly basis or even more frequently, depending on the things that we have going on. Yeah. So the mentors are definitely a key aspect about what sets us apart, which actually addresses another question here. In what ways does GLA prove itself to be outstanding in offering curriculum or as a venue for adult learners? So I think that having that one-on-one care is definitely something that sets us apart from other learning contexts, at least the ones that I've experienced. So I think I've mentioned on this podcast before that I was actually somebody that struggled a great deal in mainstream learning environments and so forth. And I didn't finish high school. And afterwards, I actually sought out correspondence work and had to work independently and so forth. I did all of my testing through an adult learning center that was local here in Thunder Bay. I did mature student tests. I went through college, went through university, went through grad school, and I still take a lot of independent courses online. The majority of them seem to be through the University of Alberta and so forth. So I've been a participant in a lot of different online learning circumstances. And one thing that I have never had access to is a mentor. And in a lot of cases, I kind of wish that I did. I am pretty good with computers and I'm pretty resourceful. I can handle an awful lot, but there are definitely times where it's stressful. I don't know where I'm going. And I think that in that case, I'm a little bit jealous of our learners and so forth because I wish I had a mentor to turn to. So I think that that does kind of set us apart. And I think that we've gotten a lot of really, really positive feedback from people who benefit from this mentorship context.
Yeah, I agree. It's so important. And just so people know, you're not alone, right? It's when you're taking classes with us, there's always going to be someone that's able to help. And if a mentor can't answer a question, they'll escalate the question and we'll get some support from the rest of the team. I think the other thing that makes us exceptional is we've been doing this for 20 years. In online learning, specifically for 20 years. And at the end of the day, I think experience matters. We have a lot of our staff have been in the field for a majority of that time and, you know, maybe working different organizations and whatnot over the years. But nonetheless, the experience still matters. And it's good to know that when you sign up for something, that there's people on the other end that have the knowledge and the skills to be able to support the learners achieve their goals. And, you know, I was looking at some of our reports and, you know, we have like a 98% customer satisfaction rating, extremely high percentage. And people keep coming back for 20 years. They keep coming back. And I think that's a good reflection that, you know what, we're legit. We're stable. We've got some phenomenal courses, but probably most importantly, we have phenomenal mentors and instructors. I think that's where it starts. We're kind of in the people business, even though we're offering online courses, there's still a lot of work that we do to personalize courses for everyone.
Awesome. So I think that we probably have time for one more question. So we have a few more questions here that I apologize to our listeners if you didn't hear your question read, but we can also address these at a future time as well. But there's one question here that's actually really nice. And I like to actually think about this every once in a while to, you know, keep myself going during the stressful times and so forth. But the question is, what is your favorite part about working at GLA?
Oh, that's a very good question too. For me, I think what I like is the variety. Every day there's something new. So I think there's always something new to learn. And, you know, as much as learners are learning something new every day. For me personally, I can confidently say I'm learning something new every day. And I don't think there's too many workplace environments that you'll have those opportunities. You know, whether it's learning something new about computers, a little shortcut, you know, a little feature in one of the systems I didn't know about, or, you know, problem solving, you know, just, there's just a variety of different things. And I think it just, it keeps you fresh. It keeps your mind active, and it's not really repetitive. Like I said, there's just always something new, and it kind of, you can relate to learners as well. You know, when there's challenges and different things that they're learning, it's, you can kind of put yourself in their shoes as well as they're working through it. It's just maybe from a different lens, if you will.
Very cool. I think for me, my favorite thing about being here is that it's almost like good learning anywhere is like a living being. Everything changes, everything grows. They're like, my 10th anniversary is coming up this December, at the beginning of December. And this program, it's bigger in size. The team is bigger. The method of delivery for our content is changing. Like, for example, it's not just like the software has changed where we started with Sentra and then Sentra got bought by Saba and then we moved into Adobe Connect and now we're exploring another new platform, which I'm not going to say what the platform is because I don't know if we've done our big reveal yet for that one. But we're pretty excited about it. It works really, really well. And it kind of simplifies a few things for us too. And when things are simplified, it means that we can put our energy elsewhere and that energy converts to delivering good content. But we used to deliver the majority of our classes in 6 parts. Now we sort of refined a lot of those topics and we've been able to break them up. So if you were taking a 6-part class, but you knew most of the content from the first 3 classes going in, now we have that broken down and a little bit more refined. So you can actually pick and choose and take a little bit more control over your own learning. And that was a really, really big important evolution for the content delivery here. We are relying more heavily on Moodle now, and the content that we are creating, we're able to deliver that in a number of different contexts. We're able to reach a number of different learning styles and so forth. We are more inclusive as a result of it. And I have loved seeing the growth of this program and being a part of it in the past 10 years. And I am looking forward to what's going to come next. I'm really, really excited to move forward into the future and see where we're going to go from here. So I think that that's about all of the time that we have for questions. Again, I'm sorry that we couldn't make it to all of them. There were a few that we weren't able to address. But if you have further questions, you still can reach out to us by email. I will take questions on behalf of the podcast at diane@shlc.ca. That's diane@shlc.ca. And you can reach out to Warren on the info line for information about our courses, our program, and so forth. Warren, before we go, we have some amazing stuff coming up. Did you want to talk about any of it?
Well, yeah. And, you know, for everyone that's waited this long to listen to the podcast, there's some pretty important information coming up that you probably want to know. So you want to save the date. Monday, August 22nd is when registration is going to for the fall term. So we're just kind of finalizing the last few items for that. But as we were saying earlier, if you go to our website, goodlearninganywhere.com, you can register right from our website. Very straightforward process. We're quite excited about it. We've got quite a few new courses that are coming out that we can talk about. I won't get into too much detail here, but we have a sharing circle that is coming out. I want to say That is going to be on Monday, September the 19th. We're going to have a live cooking class. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've done this in the past, and it's been something that people have been asking for. So we're going to have a past guest join us again. We're going to be offering more writing circles. So we talked a little bit about those interested in writing. We'll have about four sessions through the fall. And being circles, again, very popular. People are enjoying that. Another new live class we have is called Living Traditions, Connecting Indigenous Values, Food, and Culture. So that's going to come up in November. And we talked about Moodle courses earlier as well. Those are our shorter independent classes. We have Anishinaabewan in the Workplace, which is a new course. iSTEAM. So we've breaking down these courses into smaller modules. We talked about smaller success stories. So breaking down courses into smaller chunks really works well. Soft Skills for Work, Traditional Knowledge and Skills as a Business. Those are some of our new live classes. And then we also have couple new Moodle courses there. And then Edmentum, our licensed courses, completely independent. We've got two more new ones there, banking and everyday math. And then we have reading and vocabulary basics. And then we'll have a lot of our existing core content as well. So definitely August 22nd, make sure that you check out the registration page. The course catalog will be updated by then. And we'll try to share it out on Facebook as well, in case people forget the date, and we'll promote it that way as well. So lots of great courses. It's going to be a very busy time. The fall is a very popular time of year for people to get back into classes. So make sure you register early. If you have questions, or if you're an on-site instructor, you want to audit a class, we talked about that earlier, that option's available. And if you have any general questions or whatever it may be, just let us know, and we can go from there.
Awesome. I am really, really excited about a lot of the new courses that are coming out, and definitely excited that some of our previous courses are still going strong as well. So I am really, really excited to see people start registering, and I'm excited to teach this year too. So I've got one new course that I'm teaching, and then I've got some classics that I'm going to be teaching as well. And I'm just really excited to get live classes going again. You know, like, the summer is awesome. You get to spend a lot of time on development and doing something a little bit different, a little bit creative. But at the end of the day, I also really, really miss interacting with our learners. So I think that it's going to be pretty cool to get back into live courses again.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the learning centers will be opened, and the Contact North Access Centers are opening, and it's just good. It feels like we're maybe kind of, I don't want to say normal, because that's different for everybody, but we're kind of back to something we're more familiar with in terms of, working more closely with on-site programs and meeting a whole new group of learners. So yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Me too. Thank you, all of you, for joining us, for tuning in and listening. And thank you very much to everybody who sent in questions. Once again, if you're interested in our program, please go to goodlearninganywhere.com/register to sign up. If you want to browse the courses before you do that, you can go to goodlearninganywhere/courses. And thank you, Warren, for hanging out again. I didn't say it earlier, but hanging out with you on a monthly basis is definitely one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast. And it's been great. And I'm looking forward to September, when we can have guests back again.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, no, it's been great. Oh, it's been really good. So appreciate all your help there, Di. We've got a busy term coming up, but it's going to be fun.
It sure is. Remember to like and follow us on Facebook, and to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast streaming platform. And we will see you again in about a month.